If you'll open up your Bible, Luke chapter 6. I got a little bit of a cough, a little bit of a thing going. I got some cough drops up here. I'm going to try not to cough in the mic and stuff like that. We'll just hope for the best. Let's pray. Father, as we turn to this section of Scripture, we pray the Spirit of God will show up in a real way. I mean, this is stuff. This is hard stuff to understand. I don't think we always have the mind of Christ. And this is revolutionary still today. Help us, Lord, to get it, to receive it, to live it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've made it up to verse 20. I'm going to go back a couple of verses just to set the stage, okay? He's all night in the mountain, he's praying, and then he comes down from the mountain in the morning. He picks his 12 disciples. He's up with the Father. He's getting his batteries recharged. He's getting restored. I make a big deal about this all the time. You're spending time with God. I don't want to be judgmental here. I don't want to say it's obvious, but it's kind of obvious. If you're not spending time with God, you're confused. You're run down. You know, spending time with God is like illuminating. He's light. And he will show you the path. He will recharge your batteries. You remember Moses is in the Mount of the Lord at Sinai with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He's not eating and he's not drinking. You could not eat for 40 days and 40 nights and not die. You cannot drink. You can't go that long without drinking water. You will die. Did Moses die? No. Why? Because the presence of God is restorative. It's life-giving. It's not like, you know, you hang out with God and then you're all like, oh, I'm so wiped out. I've been hanging out with God. No, you're not. You're rejuvenated. You're energized. You have the fact that you've been with him is evident and obvious. And when you've been with God and God's been speaking to your heart, you have important things to say to people. And can I say this in the kindest way I know how? If you're not talking to God, if God's not talking to you, what you've got to share is drivel. Is there a gentlemanly way to say drivel? Because, no, it's true of you and it's true of me. So, hey, how's it going? How's the family? How about them Red Sox? How's the weather? How's the job? I just run out of stuff to say. That's all I got. You know, it's like, oh, the job's good. Oh, that's good. That's good. Good. Oh, the family. I heard they're low on the weather. Oh, but they're better now. Oh, that's good. That's good. And that's all I got. And those aren't like bad things to talk about, right? The weather's the weather, right? I don't know. That doesn't excite me. You're the person who watches the Weather Channel like glued to your set, like, oh my, a typhoon in Malaysia. Whatever. I mean, you know, weather's cyclical. It's happened before. It'll happen again. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't thrill me. When God's speaking my heart, there's no bigger thrill on the planet ever. He's spending time with God. He's getting his batteries recharged. What happens then? Well, he came down with them. He stood in the plain. Verse 17, the great company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea, Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. Is he capable? Yeah, he's all night with the Father. And they that were vexed of unclean spirits and they that were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went out virtue out of him and healed them all. You say, well, he's God. He's God incarnate. He can do this. I don't think he's... this is my long running theory of mine. I don't think he's doing this as God. Saying, you're saying Jesus isn't God? Stop that. And you know better. I would never even think like that. I think he's acting as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God, and he's showing us how to be a perfect man. If he's playing the God card, can I put it that way? How do you do that? How do I do that? You know, remember when he's in the wilderness, he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan's coming and he's tempting him. You remember that story. And he says, no, let me tell you what happens here. I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it the Bible way. I'm doing it God's way. I read the Word of God. I know the Word of God. I am the Word of God. I go by the Word of God. I don't care what you're saying, Satan. Now, you're saying that's good because you can do that. I can do that. I always joke, you know, Satan comes and says, hey, you're the son of God, huh? Well, I tell you what, make this rock into bread. Now, here's God in the flesh. Make this rock into bread, I'll make you into bread. Poof. And birds come and peck him to death. That's good, but we can't do that. What can we do? We can do like Jesus did. Listen, Satan, and get this straight. I don't have to be the Son of God to defeat you. I can be a man standing on the Word of God and defeat you. That's helpful. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is always very helpful. And that's how he defeats Satan. That's how you will defeat him. That's how I defeat him. Standing on the Word of God. I'm just a man. You're just a man or just a woman. We can defeat him. We stand on the Word of God. And I think he's doing this. He's touching the multitude. He's virtue is going out of him. He's healing them all. I think this is a man with the power of God. Say, he's God. Yeah, I think he's laid aside the prerogatives of his deity. He's not omnipresent. He's here, and he's nowhere else. He laid aside the prerogatives of his deity. You say he's not divine? No, please. I always want to put that disclaimer in. I never say that. I'm saying there's some things. He had the Shekinah glory when he was in heaven, right? He displayed that once on earth. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? You're saying, wow, that's a miracle. No, the miracle is that he didn't shine like that all the time. He laid that aside. He became a man like you, like me. Didn't lay aside his deity, just the prerogatives thereof. And I gave you an example. He's not omnipresent anymore. He's in one place at a time. So he's healing them. The virtue's going out from him. Power is the idea. And now he teaches them. He's spirit-filled. He's spent all night with God. Why? So he has a word for the people. I think that's tremendous. Now, before we get here, this is tough sledding. This is the different viewpoints, a myriad. But I was working through this. I think the Spirit of God was showing to me. Let's look at, still in chapter 6, verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So there's an end game here. We're trying to be like Jesus. So what do you do, just copy him? You're not going to copy his behavior till you understand how he thinks and how he feels. And both of those things are important. If Ken heard me say how he feels, he'd say, no, it's not about feelings. It's not, but God feels. God has emotions. We have emotions. We don't go by them as men. Well, I feel like, you know, beating my wife today, so I'll do that. I feel like, no. We don't go by our emotions, but we have them. Jesus has emotions, and they're the right emotions. They're proper for what is going on. He thinks a certain way, and because it looks revolutionary, it looks counterintuitive. It looks like sometimes you wouldn't figure it out normally. Love your enemies. What? Who does that? Jesus does that. Jesus does that. We have to think like him. We have to feel like him. He loves those who are unloving. What do you mean? He loved you. I got one better than that. He loves me. While I was a sinner, that's when Christ died for me. That's when he came and found me. Isn't that counterintuitive? Isn't it? You wouldn't figure that out. Well, we're going to talk about that here. But I want you to understand, before we get to, and this is not a recipe for salvation, okay? If you're poor, you're going to heaven. If you're rich, you're going to hell. It says it here. It's not. Stop. Just calm down. Let's just look at it, okay? Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name for evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So we have four beatitudes, we have four woes. When God says, when the Son of God says, blessed are, we call that a beatitude, okay? And these aren't the only beatitudes in the Bible. There's eight of them, nine of them, depending how you count them in Matthew. I say eight. I think one's a compound one. Subject to debate. There's seven of them in the book of the Revelation. All the way through, there's beatitudes sprinkled about. But these are that. Blessed are ye poor. Now, the word blessed, makarios in the Greek, doesn't mean holy. And that's not, we say, oh yeah, and if you do this, you're really holy. No, it means happy. Really? Is Jesus concerned with our happiness? Really? Why wouldn't he be? He wants to bless us. He wants to make us happy. Give him half a chance. When I'm living a life of total rebellion, what happens? Chaos. My relationships are going sideways. Bad things are happening. Why? God wants to bless me, but if he blesses my rebellion, isn't he telling me, isn't he putting his imprimatur, his stamp of approval on my rebellion? No, he says the sin of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Oh, you think you know better than me? That's unwise. I want you to reevaluate. I want you to reassess. I want you to repent from that opinion. I can't bless that. So we're trying to live the life. We're trying to be like Jesus. Will blessing come? Invariably, inevitably. Will hardship come? Yeah. Both of those, but they're not mutually exclusive. Now, most of us as Americans live life trying to be happy. I've processed from life. Let me tell you something, and again, this is non-intuitive. If you're trying to be happy all the time, you're going to be very, very miserable. Don't chase happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of a life well lived. Serve the Lord, happiness comes. Put yourself out there for others. Be a servant to others. Yesterday, my good friend Aaron Dudley was talking about this. I heard him, we had him here before, and he was talking to John 13. Remember Jesus washes the disciples' feet? And he talked about that foot washing, how we're there for others, we're available for others, we're even in a very humble, self-effacing way. I think that will guarantee happiness. So washing people's feet, figuratively, maybe actually, but figuratively. Aaron said, I thought it was profound. My life is like, it's given to my wife, it's given to my kids. It's like a pie. I have so many hours. It's given first to the Lord, and then, you know, there's the church, there's others. And I cut up this pie that's my life, and I hand it all out to everybody, and I don't have a piece left for me. And that's when my life is going excellent. Some of you are thinking, what is that about? My life is about me. It's all about me. It should be about me. Who else should it be about? How's that going for you? I'm suspecting miserable. All my relationships are about me. The reason I hang around people is that people make me feel good. And they make me feel, and if they don't, well, I get rid of them and get some new friends, right? How's that going? The only reason I'm married is because basically I wanted a slave legally. So I married and I, you know, hey, do this and do this and do this and do, how's that going? I mean, that's why you got married, right? If it's all about you, haven't you given up on that yet? When it's all about others, when it's all about the Lord, happiness will come. So, this is about happiness, but again, it's non-intuitive. Blessed are ye poor. Well, I don't want to be rich. He said, no, poor is better. Why? Well, I don't know how you get poor. He's talking to poor people, saying, okay, you're marginalized, you're nominalized, you're not the power, you're not the pretty, you're not the wealthy, you're not the influential, and God loves you. I love you. Look at the people from Judea. There's people from Jerusalem. There's people from Tyre and Sidon. Here's the Son of God shows up. I love you. I love you because I love you. Just because. Well, you know, people think, well, I'm not wealthy. The blessing of God isn't on my life. And he's saying, no, you're wrong about that. The blessing of God is on your life. I'm here. I love you. I'm here to bless. I'm here to tell you what's important. And so, listen, we have people in our culture. I mean, do you read People magazine? By the way, you shouldn't. Repent from that. But haven't you? I mean, haven't you in the past? Haven't you seen, like, you know, the successes of Hollywood? You know, people making, like, you know, tens of millions of dollars, $20 million, $25 million per picture. And they're happy. They're the happiest because they get the most money. It's almost axiomatic. You have, like, ball players, right, who are making, like, sick money. I mean, crazy money. And then, of course, once they're out of sports, they're bankrupt because they don't know how to manage it, and then they're not happy people. I was reading one article about Jim Carrey, who I don't like. I don't get him. Okay, he's saying, "Oh, he's my favorite. He's wonderful." I don't see it, but that's fine. And he's like this like multimillionaire, tragically unhappy. He gives big wads of money to his analyst who's not helpful at all, says he. If money equals happiness, show me some examples of it. I mean, you know, and here we are struggling, most of us, and I'm looking around the room. You know, we have some people who have jobs, and some of them halfway decent jobs. I mean, but none of us are like we consider wealthy. Okay, you compare us to the rest of the world in Haiti. By Haiti standards, we're pretty wealthy. I get that, but we're not wealthy. We're not influential. We're the marginalized. We're the non-powerful. And God's saying, I love you. You're blessed. You're the apple of my eye. I see it. I understand it. A lot of us aren't wealthy because we're not chasing wealth. It's not the be-all and end-all of our lives. Most of us could have more money if we worked around the clock, if we set our goals on just making money. Most of us couldn't. He says, that's not the way to live. Blessed are you. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. With the lack of wealth goes the lack of food. He's talking to people who, look, he would feed them in a different occasion with the little boy's Lunchables, right? He's, you know, kid brings his couple sardines and a couple rolls, seven fish, two rolls in one case, right? And he feeds 5,000. You say, he must cut that real, real small. No, he blessed it. He multiplied it. He can do that. He's the spiritual man living in by the power of God. He can do stuff like that. And these people, the Bible says, were filled. Glutted is the word. People who, they don't eat to excess there. They have to watch everything because they got to have enough for tomorrow and the next day. They don't eat and eat and eat until they just can't eat anymore. We do that. Sushi, Friday night. Well, let's not talk about that. That was a lot. No, not for you, for me. I'm not diming her out. I mean, she eats like a lady all the time. Me, well, that's a different story. But they rolled me out of the restaurant. They propped me up. I'm like, just because, why? Because I'm an idiot. Because that's how it goes, right? We don't know hunger here in America. But we do in a sense of like, you know, we're hungry for the things of the Lord. And you're going to be filled, by the way. And, you know, and if you compare these to the Matthew Beatitudes, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And we got to mix in some of those elements here. Blessed are you who weep now, you shall laugh. It's all about, see, this is here. Let's go on. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach you and cast out your name for evil for the Son of Man's sake. All four of these Beatitudes have something in common. I want mine now. Or I'll defer and I'll take mine later. And now this is an attitude that I'm trying to get to, okay? Let's just cut to the chase. Because so many people here in America, it's all about the here and now. It's all about my blessing now. I want mine now. I want wealth. I want fame. I want to be loved. I want to be adored. I want to be influential. This is what I want, and I want it now. And that's what my life. I set about trying to, you know, I want 1 million friends on Facebook. I want 1,000 people to follow me on Twitter. And every time I post something, I want just everyone to worship and adore me and think I'm the be-all and end-all. That's what I want. And God's saying, that's kind of sad, because you're going to be here such a short time. You're going to be there in eternity, wherever, for a long time. I can't get Americans, I can't get you guys to believe that. You're saying, well, of course I believe that. I don't want to be judgmental, and I really, really, I want to be a gracious pastor. I don't want to beat people up. I don't want to yell at you. I don't want to belittle you. You go to the church and they whip you, and you're like, oh, that was great. I don't want to be that pastor. I hated when I used to get whipped in church. You know, I was like, let the Spirit of God do his work in me. Don't just stand and tell me what a scum I am. I know. You don't pray enough. Well, I know that. You don't read the Bible enough. I know that. You're a horrible person. I know, I'm working on it. Me and the Spirit of God, we're trying to, and I don't want to be that guy. But I have made some observations, and I think they're helpful. I don't think we live for eternity because it would look like something, and I think we're confusing that. I don't think we're always living like payday someday. I'm trying to, listen, I ain't going to take anything with me. So if I have any riches there, I got to mail it on ahead. And what does that look like? It looks like doing the things that God has called me to do here and now. It looks like living the life like Jesus Christ. Thinking how he thinks, feeling how he feels, loving the things he loves, hating the things he hates. And I see a lot of Christians trying to be just like the world. Maybe I'm looking at the big church and I'm extrapolating, saying you guys are like that. Maybe, and I hope that's the truth, because what we see in the church in America, is that remarkable? Because in my thinking, it's very non-remarkable. It looks like the earth light. We have earth and we have earth light, the church. They're out there just getting and trying and striving, and it's a rat race, and we just race mice. We're just kind of like them, but we're a little less. We try to get as close as we possibly can, and without, you know, do you see that? Because I see that. Well, nobody agrees with me. Okay, fair enough. That's all right. Nobody's claiming. You know, everything that comes out of my mouth is just pearls, and you have just you don't see it my way. That's okay. Look at in verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name for evil for the Son of Man's sake. Welcome to Christianity. They beat you like a piñata. I know. Hey, welcome to my life. I know. And it's not even you. I stand for Jesus, and they say, get you and your Jesus out of here. We don't need none of that religious stuff. And they don't want to listen to what you say. And then, of course, you know, the Facebook posts and accompany that. And no matter what you say, there's someone going to take umbrage to it, and they're gonna, you know, hey, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. We're talking about it on the way down here. This is why I don't have Facebook, by the way. So she was talking about, like, to the Franklin Graham people, hey, can I get this? And somebody posted, some stranger completely out of nowhere posted, what did they say? Political pamphlets don't belong in church. I don't know how she graciously answered them. I think she just ignored them. Now, what would your pastor say? Thank you for that unsolicited doggerel, drivel queen. When I want your opinion, I'll go watch CNN. So that's why I don't have a Facebook page, because it would get me in just a lot of trouble. You know, because people hate us, and they always are saying things about us. And there's a part of me that always wants to lash out and say something back. You know how unchristlike that is? I'm not saying that. I'm not proud of that. I'm saying that to my shame. I'm not the most loving person. This isn't my long suit, but it's kind of important. It's not optional equipment. Jesus says, look, this is how they'll know you, my disciples, the love you have for one another. I'm really, really working on this. I really feel like this is one of the things that the Spirit of God is trying to work out in my life. It's not about you, Adam. It's about everyone else. When they hate you, and they will, when they persecute you, and they will, rejoice. I don't do that generally. Oh, they yell at me. They think I'm an idiot. I'm doing the happy monkey dance, you know, like, not generally. How about you? Don't you hate to be hated? Now, look, here, most people love me. I'm, I'm not needy. I'm not saying that like, oh, please love me. Most people love me, or at least like me. I mean, you're here, right? I mean, you, what are you, come here because you hate me? Or you're just visiting and the jury's still out, and that's okay. That's okay. But it's easy to love you guys because you generally like me. Now, people are, you know, I hate to be called an idiot. That just really boils my potatoes. I hate that. Don't you hate that? And people treat me like I'm a rube. You don't believe in God, do you? Hey, I'm going to have the last laugh on that one. I'm just telling you right now. But And here's Jesus saying, no. I want you to celebrate that. Why? They hated me. And you're saying, well, it doesn't look like they're hating him. They're coming to him, and there is like, this is Jesus mania, and people coming out. Look. The same crowd that says Hosanna to the Son of David when he's riding into Jerusalem, and there's palm branches, and there's crazy, this adoration, and this celebration. Just a few days later, crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on his children. Do you understand what they're saying there? Crucify, we don't want him. Kill him. Humanity's fickle. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy. Literally? I think literally. I'm working on it. Okay, how about you? For behold, your reward is great in heaven, and that's what you got to think about, heaven. 100 days from now, 100 years from now, I mean, the only thing that's going to matter in your life is Jesus Christ and your relationship to him as you live this life. That's the only thing that's going to matter. And Facebook won't matter. You know what I mean? It's not like angels say, hey, you can like me on Facebook. No. Everyone knows it's all out of, you know, it's all out in the open. How did you live your life? Oh, I love Jesus. I was insane in love with Jesus. It was all about Jesus. My whole life is about Jesus. I tried to advance his kingdom. I adored and worshiped him, and I, you know, praised him, and I tried to, you know, and I got saved by him. His blood cleansed me from all my sins, and that's the whole, it's in 100 years from now, that's all it's gonna matter. I mean, it's all that's going to matter. So rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, and you can be there a long time. For in like manner did they did their fathers the prophets. So they persecuted the prophets, they persecute me. What's that about? Misery loves company? No, it's not. It's about good company. We were studying Jeremiah, and they threw him down in a pit. You know, I think people have done that to you, not literally, but, you know, they wish you were down in some pit somewhere. They didn't listen to you. You tell them this is the way it's going to be, and they're not listening to you at all. Hey, welcome to the prophets club. No, they like to listen to false prophets. They like to listen to people who tickle their ears and tell them how wonderful they are. 3 points in a poem. Hey, make sure you drop a, you know, offering in the, a check in the offering, and you're doing wonderful. Keep up the good work. I don't care what your life looks like. It's great, and God approves, and that's fine. Them churches, they're filled to overflowing. That's fine. But we want to celebrate our persecution. Woe unto you that are rich, you have received your consolation. You got your reward now. You're living like this is all there is. This is going to be a very rude awakening. Woe unto you that are full, you shall be hunger. You shall hunger, same thing. Woe unto you that laugh now, you shall mourn and weep. What do you mean laugh now? Is laughing bad? Oh, real funny laughing boy. Is that what he's saying? No. It's again, just the here and the now. I'm party guy, I'm revelry guy. I just want to have joy, I want to have fun, I want to have a good time. And forget about, you know, I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints, Billy Joel sang. Billy, I'm calling you to repent. That's such a bad idea. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they their fathers, the false prophets. You get a bad message, people love it. If I said, I'm going to do homosexual marriages, and I said, yes, I embrace homosexuality, and it's not a sin anymore, that was Old Testament, and you know, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, are totally different people, and I'm going to make the news. There's a lot of people who would celebrate the fact that a Calvary Chapel pastor embraces homosexuality. People would, oh yeah, we love you, we think you're wonderful, and you're so You're all-encompassing, and so this is so God-like. People would speak well of me. Whoa. Whoa. Don't go after the plaudits and accolades now. Go after truth now. And let chips fall where they may. You're going to get beat like a pinata? Bring it. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus got persecuted. All the people. This is only two groups of people in the whole wide world who are basically persecuted. Jews and Christians. Have you figured that out? Why? God's people. That's all there is to it. So the persecution comes. Listen, there's two camps. I don't know if you figured this out yet. I've said this only 1,000 times. We'll make it 1,001. It's basically two camps. There's God's and there's Satan's. And you're in one of them. No, I don't believe in either one. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Satan. I don't believe in that nonsense. By default, you're in Satan's camp. And you will believe one day, okay? Maybe it'll take death to get you there. I hope not. So this is the blessings and the woes are all the here and now versus the I'll take mine now. No. I'll defer a payment. I'll take mine later on. I want to live for the Lord, and I understand that the blessings, the rewards aren't always in this life. But I say unto you that which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Let's visit here. And I think this is probably about as far as we get. And that's okay. Okay, so I want you to love, Jesus says. Jesus says love all the time. A new commandment I give unto you, he says. And so, you know, this is the Last Supper, right? I'm giving you a new commandment. And so, oh boys, you know, quick, Matthew, grab your pen. You know, he's whittling it, and he's got his inkwell. He's, all right, new commandment. This is good. What is it, boss? Love one another. Lord, we got this memo already. I mean, I don't want to be snotty or arrogant, but you kind of covered that, okay? Get this done. Priority one. This is it. This is Christianity 101. This is not optional. This is not like, you know, maybe. No. This is how they'll know you're real, you're genuine, you're Christ followers, that you love one another. I want this love to go so far, I want you to even love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Now, what's love look like? I got to talk to you about this because a lot of people say they love you and you're thinking like, this don't look like love. This looks like hate. I mean, I know people hate me and they treat me like you're treating me and you say it's love. Have you had that? Is that, or is it just me? Oh, I love you. I'm going to love you. Why are you stabbing me in the back? Ouch. That hurts. it feels like hatred. Why are you calling it love? Has anyone ever had that? How do we know? It's not a mystery. Do good to them that hate you. Love is doing good to. It's got nothing to do with feelings whatsoever. Isn't that a kind of liberating truth? Because I know right now, you're not going to feel good about everybody. Some people have treated you very poorly. I know it for a fact. I hear the stories. What's my word to you? Love them. Oh, okay, we got some people who've died. You can't actively love them. You can't do good to them. That's fine. What about the ones who are still here? And they're actively hating you right now. Do good to them. Well, I don't feel good about them. Who cares? This is what I agree with Ken Graves, 100%. We are not, and it's not a man and woman thing. He always makes it sound like, you know, we're men, we don't have any feelings. Well, fact of the matter is we do, and we have the same feelings that women have, we just don't express them in the same degree. They're the exact same. My wife, she's an ocean of emotion. I've said this. She feels things like deeply. I'm like, really? Wow. And I'm very shallow, very superficial, you know, just an inch deep. I'm a puddle of emotion. I kind of am. But they're the same emotions she has. Whether you're male, whether you're female, they don't rule our lives. We don't set our compass by them. They fluctuate. They come and they go. This isn't like, I love you, I feel good about you. This is, I'm going to treat you well. I'm going to do good unto you. Is this hard? It's impossible outside the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God comes, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now, love, peace, joy, goodness, love. Let's just concentrate on that. Spirit of God comes, this is the first thing, love. You can't do this in the natural. You do this in the supernatural. You walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And he's saying, look, I want you to do good. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good that hate you. Now, I've had people tell me a lot of times, I'm a very loving person. Well, who do you love? Well, I love my spouse. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my sisters, my brothers. I love my friends. And I love my... Bully for you. Everyone does that. I mean, hopefully you love your spouse. Hopefully you love your grandkids, your kids. I don't doubt that. But you can hate God. You can be a reprobate. You can be a sinner. You can live life contrary to God and still love your spouse and your kids. You can be an atheist and be Mother of the Year. You know what I mean? Everyone does that. And please, I want you to love your spouse. And I want you to love your kids, and I want you to love your grandkids and your friends. I mean, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but Jesus isn't saying that. That's a given. Look, bless them, curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Yeah, your grandkids love you. Your mammy or your papa or your daddy or your mom to your children. Of course they love you. And if you love them back, that's good. It's better than abandoning them. It's better than leaving them, you know, on somebody's doorstep. That's, you know, sometimes you want to. I know. I understand. But you don't do that, right? Because you love them. And that's a good thing. But Jesus is saying, yeah, everyone does that. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? Sinners also love those who love them. That's why I said you can be an atheist. You can be a sinner. You don't even care about God or anything. And you can still be happily married to your atheist spouse. I mean, you can do well for a while, you know, then you're going to die and then other things take over. But in the here and now, you see, and Jesus is saying, you know, big deal. That's not praiseworthy. That's just like everyone does that. But here he's calling us to love our enemies. Do good to those who hate you. They are batting you and just saying all kinds of horrible, untrue things about you. And you turn around, you bless them. What does that look like? Oh, I don't know. I don't want to start in down that road. You know, bake them a cake and bring it to them. And then you do that. You know what you do in a situation like that? You pray, and the Spirit of God will tell you what to do. Really. Well, this person's just on my case. Well, I can't shake them. They're just dogging me hard. What am I supposed to do in this situation? He'll tell you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Really, pray for them. I'm praying for them. Lord, break their teeth. Break the teeth of the wicked. We see that in the Psalms, right? I'm even praying biblically. That's not what he means at all. I think we all know that, right? Bless them. Cause good things to happen to them, Lord. I know they hate me, but I don't hate them back. And I want you to bless them. I want you to show them who you are, Lord. Be good to them like you're good to me. Really? Yeah, really. This isn't easy, is it? This is the heart of God. We're enemies with God. What do you do? He showed up and died for us. I can't tell you. I mean, I remember so well. I was religious and I didn't love God at all. I loved rules and trying to keep them, and I was failing miserably at that. It was finally kind of out in the open. And God manifests his love to me in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says that in the book of Romans chapter 5. I think it's verse 7. You can look it up. It might be verse 8. God demonstrates his love to us in that while we had sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies with him. We weren't followers of him. We weren't seeking after God. He came seeking after us. He initiated. It wasn't like, you know, I was, you know, I think, I don't know what you think, like people like, oh, they're so good people. They're just so nice and they're so sweet and they're just so close to the cross. They're the hottest and the worst ones, you know. And I wasn't that. I was a reprobate. I was living anti-God. And He left the 90 and the 9, right? He come looking for me. And he kept seeking until he found me. What does the shepherd do with the lost sheep? He throws them over his shoulders and brings them back. Isn't that what happened to you? Isn't that what happened to me? And he just broke my heart and loved me and won me with his love and changed my eternity in the process. And he says, this is how I want you to love. He loved me because I was so wonderful. No, he loved me despite the fact that I was a rebel. He's an awesome God. Now let's, because we're men, let's just take verse 29 right out of the book and just get your squeaky little magic marker and squeak it right out. Come on. We're men, we don't, you smite me on my right cheek, just go ahead and see. It ain't going to go well for you. That's who we are. We're men. We're idiots. That's so counter God. I don't know how often this happens to you in the physical, but it happens to us all every day in the world of Facebook. I keep talking about Facebook. It's on my mind. They call us an idiot, and what do? We just, like me, rise up and, who do you think you are? And that's why I don't have Facebook. I'm trying to maintain a credible Christian witness that I don't think I could do. Because I got power over the mouth gate sometime. I'm just telling you, okay? You don't know what's on my mind, but I have told you this in the past. If you knew what I thought about saying and didn't say, you'd be so proud of me. You really, really would. The first thing that comes to mind is always sarcastic and always a zinger and always wants to put people in their place. And then pause, let the Spirit of God catch up, because that knee-jerk reaction is the flesh. That's never the right thing. Always wait for the Spirit. Pray, okay, Lord, now what should I say that's going to... And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to learn, but it's a thing that we must. Again, we can't do this in the natural. We do this in the supernatural, walking in the Spirit of God. He will give us the right word to say, the soft answer that turns away wrath, or that word that's like, it's like the word fitly spoken. It's like, a picture of apples of gold and a picture of setting of silver. Or whatever that proverb that I'm not quoting very well. He'll give us the thing that's going to win the day. He does. He can. He will. He Jesus is like, hey, is it this or this? Paying taxes or not? Give me a coin. Whose picture's that? Caesar's. I suggest you give back to Caesar what Caesar owns. That word that can't be gainsaid, that... You know how much they hated him when he came up with those things? And he was coming up with them constantly. Is it A or is it B? Jesus says, I don't color between the lines and I don't play by your rules. This is the real deal. And he constantly, through the Spirit of God, says the thing that needs to be said. And it's never the knee-jerk reaction. He never, you remember when he came to arrest him? They bound him, those hands. Why? Had he ever... had him in a balled up in a fist, swinging at anybody in his whole life ever even once? What were those hands used for? Healing. Cleansing the leper, touching the eyes of the blind and restoring sight. We better tie those hands. We don't want any healing going on, right? Isn't that crazy? He never answered in anger. He never lost his cool. We never see Jesus red-faced with rage. You say, well, he cleansed out the temple. Do you realize how godly that was? Do you remember? It's the Passover, by the way. What happens in the Passover? Well, the son cleans the yeast out of his father's house, yeast being a symbol of sin. So that's just a good Jewish boy cleaning the yeast out of his father's house. Yeah, but he drove him out with a cord, a whip, but he didn't use a 2x4 and just start, like some berserker chasing him out and screaming, blood coming out of his eyes, snot coming out of his nose, just going all, no. It was very calculated, because you know what the thing about a cord, it will sting, but it won't break. A 2x4, that breaks. He didn't go after him with a club. He went after him with a whip. And it was very calculated. I see Jesus like, fashioning whip. Oh, you guys are going to get it. And just building this and just saying like, putting this together, braiding it and like, okay, it's time now. And he got the point across. How many people will rush to the emergency room? I don't think anybody. He never is out of control. How unlike us he is. Have you been red-faced with rage? Have you been just, just crazy like some? He's never that way. I never want to be that guy. I want to love. I want to be loving. People are going to hate us. They're just going to. Write it down. Stop trying to be popular. They're just going to hate us. They hated Jesus, and they hate Jesus in you. It's just the way it's going to be. Well, I'll just be groovy, and I'll be all affirming, and I'll just agree with them, and then they'll love me. No, they won't. How many people try that? So you put the rainbow flag out in front of your church, and then it's filled up with sinners. And all. No. We got another one. Good. We got him to cross a line, to step over a line, or agree with us. That's not going to fill up the church. Love will. A life that it's so goes against our culture. I know. Time's gone. I have to stop here. Just think about this one thing. You go away with one thing here. I want you to go away with this. Love those who don't love you. It is so revolutionary. Today, 2016, it's so different. It's a life that's so, you can't say anything about love negatively. Yeah, man, I treated that guy like, I clouded up and rained on him every time I saw him. Well, what did he do? He just loved me. He was so gracious. He was so kind. You know, when my grandma was sick, he's the one who came and prayed, and he's the one who, you know, visited my brother when he was in the hospital. He's the guy who helped me move, and when I had to, you know, do this or this, that's the guy who I was just constantly razzing. That's the one who showed up and helped me. You think it makes a difference? It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. God says, I can move through that life. I can bless that. I can give you that love. I can give you that supernatural love. Can you do it on your own strength? You can try. It's not going to go very well. I've been there, done that. Spirit of God, fill us with your presence and your blessing, and help me to see the world like Jesus sees the world. Help me to think like Jesus thinks, and help me to love like Jesus loved. And then the activity, the following Jesus, will come after that. Let's stand, let's pray. A lot of things, and I my mind's too bald. I probably didn't get it all in the right. I'm just praying that the Spirit of God will tell us the things that that we really need to hear today and take away what he wants us to have. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, we want to love like Jesus loved. That's all. Spirit of God, move in us. And, Lord, I suppose some here don't know anything of what I'm talking about. They're just out on the outside looking in. Lord, we graciously say, invite those to get saved, to trust Jesus. Lord Jesus, you paid the penalty for all our sins. And those ones here who don't know it, Lord, we just invite them to ask you to save them. And what have you said? You say, in every instance, yes, I will. I definitely will. Spirit of God, move among us, work among us. Get us to be this type of people. Whatever is said about us as a church, we want this one thing said: boy, don't they love like Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, just whatever it takes to get us to that place, move in our lives, just work, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.